adventure, don't you? Next year, we'll do a game show. But, you know, we've been planning to do the Book of Ruth, Hospital of Journey Park, pretty much a year ago. And as I got, you know, I just felt like God wanted me to share my testimony with you guys. And it's a hard thing to do, because I've seen a lot of our leaders just come up here and completely be raw. Because you work with a lot, people see you as a leader, you know, and you're like, got it together. But it's always good to remember where you come from, right? It's always good to know what God did in your life. And never forget, because that makes you so much more useful to those who still need Jesus, right? So, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to start with the weirdest scripture you've ever heard. You're going to be like, what, are you crazy? No pun intended, but yeah, I was. So, let's go ahead and pray. Father, just move. Just move. In my words, in my heart, in the hearts of these women, we thank you for the powerful testimonies, your work going out, hearts that have been changed, lives that have been touched. We thank you for the questions. We thank you for every single woman who's come up here. We thank you for Scott, Jamie, for Dan. We thank you for this weekend, Lord. And I just commit this time to you and pray that you would use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, in Daniel 4:28-37, it says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12th month, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's head, a lot of pride. He's like, look at this. Look at how I've done. This is all for my majesty. And while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. This was a voice. It's like King Nebuchadnezzar, to it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men. And your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High dwells in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? So let's pray. That's it, guys. I'm just kidding. Like, what does that have to do with the roof? Okay, we're going to find out. So, you know, do you have my title? Is it a fit? So before we go home, let's not forget the mother-in-law. I can just hear Naomi saying, where's Ruth, Ruth? Like, this whole story started with me. And everything's not Ruth. She's young. She's high. Look at her. She gets followed. She gets, you know. Okay? And look at me. I'm old. I'm nursing a child at 70. And I'm like, I don't care. So, but the parallel, the story of Ruth and Naomi, parallels my life so much with my mother-in-law. And Jonah came up here and told mother-in-law jokes. You know, we get a bad rap, right? And she tells a joke, and my daughter-in-law's got her burn. Has that been good to you? So, but Cecily is the best daughter-in-law I could ever ask for. She is a daughter to me, and I love her so much. Don't you? what you say sometimes. So, Carmen, my mother-in-law, was traditional. She was Hispanic. She, the house that was built in Barrio Hollywood, right across from St. Margaret Church. How many are you familiar with that area? Right? It's Tucson, right? It's Tucson. Tax chili dogs. Do you love the chili dogs? Church right down from Catch Chili Dogs. Two of my boys went to Catch Chili Dogs. So, like, this neighborhood is culture in Tucson, tradition. She was a believer, right? And like, Ruth, I was like Ruth. I came from Mara. Carmen had a God. I didn't have a God. Carmen had culture. I was raised as a hippie. I'm not talking about the hipsters hippies. They're all fake. But the hippies, hippies, like, Fourth Avenue was our home. My sister literally was a part of a hippie pottery commune. We were steeped in that culture. But one of the things missing from it is you don't have a God. Everything is okay. Everybody does what is right in his own eyes. And my mom was a very independent Jewish, right? So here comes this independent Jewish girl, talk to Barbara Barr, right? Do you guys remember the movement? Some of you young ones are like, what are you talking about? Please, no. Not me. My father's like, put them away, you know? But it really is like just a movement of, it was liberalism at its highest form. It was, do what feels bad. You don't have to cook for no man. A guy doesn't have to open the door for you. And my mom wasn't like, this was always like, you don't have to cook for no man. But it was that all these messages, you need to be a powerful, strong, independent woman. And I come into this traditional, my mother-in-law, a lot of you know her. But she was so meek and so gentle and so kind. And she never had a bad word to say about anybody. And they had Barbara, my husband, set up with their best friend's daughter. And she was perfect. Like, she was a perfect match. She was traditional. She was a believer. She would have done anything for Robert. And Robert moved away to Oklahoma, came back. I was living with his cousin. She was one of my best friends. He comes to show his truck. And from that moment on, we've been together. And so he never went back to the other one. But I, as a mother, I have five sons. That would break my heart. That would kill me. I went to the court. But here I come, and I am the opposite of anything they know. Here's an example. There was one day they were all at the table. There were beans all over the table. They were getting ready for the guests at St. Margaret's. And they're going like this, you know, putting them in pots. I'm like, how many did I put in each pot? I thought they're counting them two by two. I'm like, this is crazy. How do you guys know how many to put in a pot? And they're like, I didn't come from that culture. I didn't know what they were doing. And we were such different people. So fast forward to, well, Robert and I ended up living together, which I'm sure both his mom saw, right? As a Christian mother, you just want the best for your kids. And but we did what we did, and we had I got pregnant with my first son, and as God is my witness, Carmen proposed to me. She was like, you're not having a child out of wedlock. So I was like, okay. And we were like, okay, we'll be married if that's what, you know. So I'm not kidding. And in that time, we had the blood test, and the doctor, sometimes there was a confusion, the doctor closed his offices up. Dr. Baxter, you guys remember, on St. Mary's? And he closed his office, and she went and she knew the receptionist. She opened it, got our results, got us down. She was like, you're getting married. And so she treated me like a daughter. So So I'm married. I'm ready to have my kids. I have Bobby. I have Michael. But having kids didn't change who I was. I was still strong. I was still independent. Nobody was going to tell me what to do. And nobody was going to tell me what not to do. And I worked for an attorney. He was the second highest producing bankruptcy attorney in Tucson. So I had a lot of confidence. You know, I was doing pretty well. And Rob and I really, truly loved each other. But every Friday, I would come home from work. We would get the kids to bed. And I would go and get ready. And I would go out. My friends would come get me. And I would leave every single, I'm not exaggerating, every single weekend. Now, the kids were in bed when I left. And I got home before they woke up. So in my mind, I was like, pretty okay. I'm not hurting anybody. The kids don't know. But every single time, Robert would say, please don't go. And I was like, whatever, you know? And I went. And that went on for a long, long time. I can remember a time that said, just any time, and I know God doesn't do this to condemn me, but when I take communion, I think, you saved a wretch like me. And I came home one night, it was probably like 4 or 5 in the morning, and my son was in bed, it was little Bobby, and I was wasted. I just fell on the bed and passed out next to him. And I can still see that. I can look at that picture and go, you saved me. You came into my life. And one day, so this was going on, and I was on a very destructive path. And one day I was in the car, Bobby and Michael were in the back seat. I was sitting in the passenger seat, Bobby was backing up. And it felt like somebody just took my head and threw it back. And I was sitting there going, whoa. And I'm like, I'm having a heart attack. And Robert comes down, like, you need to take him to the hospital. I'm having a heart attack. And so he's like, okay. And so he rushes me to the hospital that morning and started taking me to work. And after all the tests were run, they're like, you know what? We just really think you're stressed. We think you're overly stressed and you need to reduce the stress in your life. And I was like, okay. But if you look at Nebuchadnezzar, do you remember the story we just read? It was within an hour, within 1 hour, that he lost his mind. You guys, that is my story. And I am not exaggerating. That moment changed my life forever. I had a complete nervous breakdown. I had acute anxiety. I was agoraphobic, meaning I was afraid to be outside. And I went from this strong, confident, independent, vulnerable woman to a woman I couldn't even be alone with my kids because I couldn't even take care of myself. I lost my mind. And remember the mother-in-law. The days looked like this. I couldn't sleep anymore. Because any time I was still, I just felt like I was losing it. And I felt like every single moment, trying to get to the next moment, was survival. And the darkness, like there was no light in me at all. There was no emotion in me at all. The only emotion I had was fear. And I had fear of being afraid, and I had anxiety, and it was acute. I lost 30 pounds in a month. And at that time, my pants were falling off. I'm healthy now. And my pants were tight. Praise the Lord. They're looking back. But, so, you know, there's a good ending. But I went from being the third. So these are my days. So so I would try to go to bed at night. I couldn't sleep. I would go outside in the backyard, and Robert and I would just throw the softball back and forth. That's what we did all night long. And if we would go out front, he would sit on this little wooden thing. I would run up and down the block because I couldn't be still. If I was still for a minute, I was just like, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I couldn't do it. And I was going completely crazy. And we would get through the night somehow. I would go outside and pick weeds in the front yard until Carmen, my dear mother-in-law, would come pick me up, me and the babies. I would go to her house. She would take me, she would enter, you know, just like, take care of me all day. Sometimes she would say, just say the name of Jesus. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're driving me crazy. You know? And she was like, gentle. She hated my mind. I'd say that to her, but in my mind, I'm like, she doesn't get it. Like, stop. And I have rejected Jesus for quite a while. And And this went on and on. I went to psychiatrists. I went to the hospital all the time. And one night when I went to the hospital, they knew me. And I was just, you know, and she, the doctor came in and said, you know what, we think you're depressed. And I was like, well, please, I don't think there's more. I would not. I can't even tell you, when I heard I was depressed, I was happier than I'd ever been. And I'm like, you can fix me now that you know what's wrong with me. Like, I'm depressed. Isn't that awesome? I said, Mama, I'm depressed. Now they can fix me. Now they know what to do with me. They gave me a name. And then she said, have you ever considered hurting your kids? I do those thoughts ever again. Because, you know, some young moms go through really difficult situations. And I was like, no. And she's like, well, just kind of, be cautious of that. But sometimes with depression when you have little ones, and I thought, oh, you know, And I went home, and at that point, I was so really excited that they knew what to do with me, I thought. And I went home, and I sat there, and that thought came to me, I was like, I'm not going to hurt my kids. And it just gripped me, and I couldn't, that thought would not leave my mind. And when Robert came home the next day, like when I was at Carmen's, and I said, we have to put the kids up for adoption. He never knew what to come home to. He was like, I'm like, Robert, the thought of hurting them scared me to death, and I have lost my mind so much already. I'm like, when does that happen? Like, I don't even have control of myself now. And it was the last thing I ever wanted to do. So he rushed me to my mom's in New Mexico, and she's a hippie. Crystals, I mean, everything. Like, you guys, I exhausted, and I was afraid to take drugs. So I'm not here, I'm like not a mental health expert. I'm not saying what you should do and what you shouldn't do. I'm telling you my story. I was afraid to take drugs. I was afraid of everything. And so I was at my mom's for 2 weeks. Robert came in. We wanted to come home. Robert came and got me. And it finally got to the point where I was done. I could not get out. I sit at the table with my family. I look at Robert. I look at the boys. And I was like, I know I love them, but I feel nothing. I feel nothing. I'm dead. And I can't do this anymore. I can't survive anymore. We went to his mom's one night. He slept at the car wash in St. Mary's, and I was sitting on the brick, like a little well outside. And that's when I was just losing my energy, dropping off of me. And I was just sitting there thinking, just like, again, in a survival mode, because you're just like trying to keep it together. And I thought, I'm either going to starve to death tonight, or I'm going to kill myself tonight. But I don't have any more time. Like, I'm done. Like, I can't, and it wasn't a dramatic, I was done. I didn't have anything left in me. So we go to Carmen's, and she took us to, like, this Bible study, and I'm just, like, this walking dead person. That's what I was like for them, just, and we sat there, and this woman came up, and she, and I guess their special, their speaker, and she just started singing. And again, I feel nothing. And her last song, I heard it, and it was like, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. And she kept singing that over and over and over. And then she got up, and she said, I had a whole list of songs. And God led me to just, like, sing these songs about fear. And then she spoke my life. Like, she literally spoke my life. And I sat there. And Carmen and Robert, I was with this thing around, and Carmen and Robert were across from me. And I look up, and they're crying. And I was like, he's real. And he knows me. And it was like, God, that night, God stepped down from heaven and went into that room and said to me, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. And I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And she spoke that scripture over me. And I had joy for the first time from head to toe. It was like a lightning bolt. And I was like, he's real. And he loves me. And I'm okay. And he said he was going to help me. And I went from death to life. It was like when God restored Nebuchadnezzar's mind, I looked up. And he gave me my mind back. And he changed everything about my world. and I was a believer. And that independent, strong woman who thought she had it all together, who became broken, actually was already broken. And God used all of that to truly break me so I could truly be made whole. And I look back at that time now, and I think, it's the worst thing I've ever been through in my life. I've lost a daughter, but I had Jesus when I lost my daughter. And I had comfort, and I had hope. When I was going through that, I had nothing. I was dead. I've lost a sister who was murdered. One of the worst things ever in my whole life. But I had Jesus, and I had hope. And nothing compares to the breaking that God did in my life that day. And if you can go, Hebrews 12, 11 and 12, says, now no chasing seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Now, I tell you that whole story because at the beginning of the story was my mother-in-law who was praying for me. Throughout the whole story, she was picking me up every single day and taking care of me and my kids. And at the end of the story, she took me where I heard the word of the Lord and where God. She prayed me into the kingdom of God. And I think of Naomi who took in the Moabitess who had no God. She was a foreigner. She was taking her in. And she made her her own. And Carmen made me her own. And as we leave this weekend, we all want to be like Ruth, right? Because we're one of us. But I really want to be like Naomi, too. I want to be that gentle, quiet spirit who loves on the broken, who loves on the obnoxious, who loves on the one who is not lovable. I want to walk away, and you guys, as you guys leave this weekend, we're going out to a very, very broken world. We're going out to a bunch of broken people who need Jesus. And are we going to be those women, just like Naomi and just like Carmen was in my life, who sticks with you even when it's not easy? Are we going to be, well, somebody asked the question, do I stay with somebody who's, you know, not healthy for me? I mean, you don't have to wrestle that up with God, right? But God will show you what to do, but you shouldn't be in a toxic relationship. But I would imagine I was toxic at that time. I would imagine a lot of people would have counseled Robert to leave me, you know, and not stick in there with me the way he did. So I'm thankful. And as I leave this weekend, I want to be Naomi. I want to be just like, and just like Ruth said to me, nothing but death separate us. And your God will become my God, and your people will be my people. Her God became my God. Her people are my people. And on the very last day, we took her into dialysis. We went to Coco's and went on Jackman. And then we took her home, and we were sitting there in her living room, just, you know, before we were going to go, because my father-in-law died about a year before, and she was alone. And we were just sitting there with her. And Robert and I were fighting about something. I don't remember what it was. I'm sure he was wrong. I don't remember exactly what was going on, but yeah, I'm sure he was wrong. And you could feel the tension, right? You know when somebody's... And her last words to my husband were, she called her and she said, Mijo, she's like, you take care of her and you do right by her. And we left and we said goodbye. And we got a call about 10 minutes later that she had a heart attack and she died. And those were her last words. They were to take care of me. I want to be